Blog Talk Radio.
We got a lot of bad habits in the way we educate our children. Tonight, I'd like to spend the 30 minutes we have here, and hopefully it will spill over into another show, but I'd like to spend the 30 minutes here discussing alternatives to the current school paradigm. One of the things everybody, anyone who knows me live knows that I'm a big blogger, a big tweeter. I love Facebook. And in my tweeting, I have come across an educator who lives in New York City, works in New York City. She's known as the innovative educator. And I've had a series of discussions with the innovative educator. I don't know if she's going to call in tonight or not. Maybe I should have invited her. I don't know. But I hope she does. There's a Facebook group. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. The innovative educator and I were talking the other day about alternatives to the current paradigm of school. And we decided, or she decided, actually, I mean, I don't want to take any credit away from her. She said, what if we started a group on Facebook trying to discover new paradigms? And to be that just rang a bell with me, because I have been spending a lot of time thinking about how do we learn, how could we use Facebook as a learning environment, a free learning environment. And so I said, why? By all means, let's go. Let's make a group. And so the innovative educator went and opened a group on Facebook, and it's known as the Alternative Learning Center. We couldn't think of another name, but we're not looking, well, I don't know what, I won't speak for, I'll just call her the IE. I won't speak for the IE, but I don't want to make an alternative school. I don't like the school paradigm per se. That doesn't mean that a place that operates under the current school paradigm couldn't morph into something else. I mean, I've been working in schools for the past 32 years. And sometimes I can get a little uppity, and it's part of the reason why I don't always have a job. Hey, Colt, I'm glad to see you're here. We're talking about alternatives to the school paradigm tonight. Guest 9310, welcome to the chat room. If you guys want to call in, I'd love to have you. 347-945-6713 is the call-in number. If you simply want to add to the discussion in the chat room, I'll be glad to relay that to the audience. But as long as the cult is listening, I just want to make something clear. General Motors Corporation has become extraordinarily profitable. GM's second quarter profits were its largest in 11 years. Its first quarter profits, GM this year, earned $1.7 billion in the first quarter. Detroit's big three were all profitable for the first time since 2004. Now, I don't quite understand why General Motors Corporation's stock fell after they exploded with their second quarter profit, which doubled their first quarter profit, except that their stock, their profit, they were expected to be less profitable in the second half of the year. So to pretend that GM was a big disaster for the United States government is that's just silly. That's just union bashing, because the union has a big share in the company. The government does own the United States of America. That's all of us, own 33% of the outstanding common shares of General Motors. Yes, if the company goes bankrupt, I guess the United States would lose that money. And if they sold the stock now, I guess that they might take a loss from the initial purchase of it. But all reports say that General Motors profit sharing checks, and those are the ones that go to the stockholders, of which the United States government is a, well, the United States, the people, is a major holder, could be the biggest in the country's history. And that's pretty interesting, because the General Motors workers are going to get this cash because of profit sharing, something that the corporation really didn't do. So that's enough of that. I've got five lines open at 347-945-6713. If you want to talk about GM, I'm not going to stop you. I'll talk with you about GM. But the fact is, GM's making a bundle of money. And the government ownership in GM is, that's government income. And government income could be a big deal in the future as we try to do something about this deficit. But tonight's topic, an alternative to the school paradigm. I guess we should determine what I mean by the school paradigm. Well, first of all, I include both public and private or independent schools in the paradigm. How the schools operate, it's a question of scale and where the money comes from. But schools operate in a brick and mortar building for the most part. That brick and mortar building is in a certain place. People come to those brick and mortar buildings in order to be taught how to read and write. That's essentially the purpose of the school. And a whole lot of other things that we tend to think that school should teach. Math, science, et cetera, et cetera. There's a fixed curriculum. We educate people by, hey, I got some callers here. Go ahead, 206, you're on with Norm at Night.
Hello, Norm.
Hello.
We only send people to school to learn to read and write?
That's why we send people to school. There's no other real reason to go to school except to learn to read and write. Because once you know how to read and write, you can self-educate yourself.
And you have lots of motivation to do that.
Yeah, every human being in the world has motivation to do that. Except in the current paradigm, we make it mandatory. What you are interested in learning, we don't care about.
And you don't think that there's a common body of knowledge that every well-educated citizen, in order to be a good citizen, should master?
No, I do not. I think there is a not a common body of knowledge, because that's indoctrination. If somebody from the outside sits around and says, this is what a person should know, rather than trying to discover what the person wants to know.
Isn't there a happy medium where we could do both?
No. This voice is sounding familiar. I don't think there's a happy medium where we can do both. And in fact, I got to admit, I'm a, I don't know if I'd want to call it a disciple, but I think a lot of Sir Ken Robinson, and his book, The Element. And we have to help children find their element. School, the way it's presently organized, is extraordinarily wasteful. Most school buildings...
It's a 19th century model. It's a model built around the agriculture and industrial worlds that we've outgrown.
That's why a new paradigm is necessary. And you'll have to remember, universities, for example... Universities have been around since about 700.
That's right.
And there were no schools till actually mandatory schooling arose, as you said, in the middle of the it was established by the middle of the 19th century into the 20th. I mean, I'm assuming you're somewhere around my age and you went to school.
I did go to school. I'm not so sure I'm around your age.
Well, I'm willing to bet you're within plus or minus 10.
Well, plus or minus 10, I'll give you that.
Okay. And somehow I got the feeling that you probably have some investment in the present paradigm. But I want you to think.
Not the K-12 paradigm.
Oh, I don't know, because without the present K-12 paradigm, the 13-18 paradigm doesn't work either.
Go ahead.
But I want you to think about the K-12 paradigm. I want you to think about your own K-12 experience. And then I want you to think about where you really learned things. And somehow I believe that the most important things you learn, you don't learn in school.
Well,
learn
I guess
about
I would go ahead and define for me the most important things.
The things that make you who you are. The things that contribute to your interests. The things that satisfy your curiosity. And in fact, in school, we try to destroy those things.
But I would
Go ahead. Sorry.
I would argue that I learned how to learn in school so that I could then follow those interests and follow those, those interested is a word I think you used.
Okay.
And I would not have been able to have done that without having had some facility in learning how to learn.
I'm going to object to that because you knew how to learn. I want you, when you went to kindergarten, I assume you went to kindergarten or first grade or whatever, I want you to think about all the things you had already learned without being in school. You learned how to get around, how to move. You learned how to walk. You learned
how to communicate.
That
did not make me an educated preschooler.
I mastered
some physical
development. You learned how to learn in school. And I'm saying to you, you already knew how to learn. Human beings learn naturally. You probably learned the most complicated thing a human being learns before they get to school, and that is language. You spoke a language when you got to school. And in school, I just die when these, maybe Johnny shouldn't take a language. Johnny really can't learn a language. My God, Johnny's already learned, or Janie has already learned a language.
Is he using the language properly? Is he communicating using standards, or does he simply learn and mimic the language that he's been exposed to in his house, whether it's quote-unquote standard English or quote-unquote Ebonics or quote-unquote whatever?
You know what? My grandfather came to America when he was 16 years old, and he didn't speak a word of English. And he learned how to speak English, and he and my grandmother taught their kids how to speak English. And in a single, I don't want to get into that. And in a single generation, they went from almost illiterate immigrants to college graduates. In a single generation.
I guess I would wonder, though, how much of that English did your grandparents teach those children, and how much of that English did they actually learn in school or from their older sister?
Well, from my understanding of the family, they couldn't speak Italian at home. It wasn't allowed. And it really doesn't matter if it had been. If they'd learned it, they learned language. And language, that is a tremendous human exercise. And
did they learn math?
Hey, wait one second. I just gotta get another person in here. Go ahead, 916. You're in the conversation.
How's it going, dude?
It's going pretty well, but right now, I think I got a couple of coasties here. 206, isn't that in Washington State?
It is.
It is. That's what I thought. 916 is in California, around the Bay Area. And, but anyway.
That's a good place to be. The Bay Area is nice.
Yeah, actually, I'm in the Sacramento Valley.
Oh,
it's not quite as nice as the Bay Area, but it's pretty fine.
Yeah, it's about an hour's drive. It's, you know, not far.
But anyway, yes.
So kids are going to learn mathematics at their mother's knees.
Yeah, I don't think my mother could teach what we used to call modern math.
Yeah, I don't think mine could either.
That was...
Oh, we know.
And I don't think
your
grandmother could either, Norm.
No, I think she could. And you know what? You know how she did it?
She beat it into you. Three strokes times three strokes.
No, she used to stand there with her apron. And after you sold the newspapers, you signed the shoes, you put the money in it. And they counted the money. Something I always wondered about. So I was talking to my brother about this the other day. And they weren't destitute, but they were anything but well off. Grandpa always had a job, and that was a miracle. And
that's because he went to school to learn electricity and to better himself.
Well, he went to school to learn how to speak English. He learned electricity on the job. But anyway, it's here and there. There's a lot of family argument about that, and I don't want to go into it. I got a cousin that's real big on family history. Actually,
she's your favorite cousin, if I remember correctly. You've talked about her before on the show.
She's my favorite cousin. But anyway, you're not going to get me to walk into that piranha-filled pond, thank you. And if anybody's listening in Milwaukee, hello. Or if anybody's listening in...
Lake Winnipesaukee, hello.
Lake Winnipesaukee, I was thinking more of Gowanda.
Gowanda, yes.
I was thinking more about Bailey Delavan.
Anybody
listening on Kermit Avenue?
Kermit Avenue, you can't beat Kermit Avenue. But anyway, St. Gerard's Elementary School, that nun, 50 of us, one nun. How did we learn to read and write? I didn't learn to read and write from those nuns. I learned to read and write at home. I learned to do math at home.
You learned algebra and geometry at home.
It's my father's knee, without question. He would come home from his job, and he would have long sheets of paper with math problems on that he would make up during the night. And, yes, I do those. I would come home from school for lunch, and... in fact, I got a black composition book sitting right here, right now, and it would be filled with spelling words. And he would make me spell my words while I ate my sandwich at lunch. Yeah, that's
so you're, that same father sent you and paid all that money to the Jesuits for your high school education when he could have just taught you all that stuff at home for free.
You know what? You're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right. It cost $320. a year to go to that Jesuit high school. My father made $100 a week. That was a lot.
How was the do the translation there for me, right?
The translation? No, it was a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah, that's a month's pay.
No, there's no question about it. And would I have been any different? I don't think I would have been any different if I had gone to the public high school.
Jesuit social conscience that you talk about.
Well, the Jesuit social, I didn't learn that in school.
You wouldn't have learned it at Bennett High.
I learned that from being around Jesuits. That's where I learned my Jesuit social conscience.
Around the Jesuits?
I learned it reading liberation theology. I didn't do that in school. I learned it reading Che Guevara. I didn't do that in school.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't let you do that in school. You had to put books inside the books to read what you wanted to read. But anyway, that's a here and a there. I'm sorry?
Life was tough. You had to go home for lunch and do math problems. You had to hide your books from the Jesuits. You had a tough time
there. No, from the Jesuits actually were, it wasn't, I learned to be free by having my freedom squashed in the Jesuit high school.
Ah. That sounds quite Jesuitical, actually.
Jesuitical. That's a great word, Jesuitical. But anyway, I saw a great video that anybody, and I don't have anything against learning. There's a guy named James Paul G. I think he's just a genius. He's actually a linguist. But he wants to replace school with what he calls affinity centers, or just places that explore what people are interested in. And I remember when I was a little boy, well, not a little boy, I was 11 or 12. I used to get on the number 12 East Utica bus every Saturday morning and go down to the Buffalo Museum of Science. And they had a chess club. And I learned how to play chess. And I'll never forget my godfather and gave me a Christmas present. It was my first chess set. I think I was about 8. My uncle read it. I'll never forget that. And Aunt Cynthia, they gave me this chess set. And it was these Renaissance chess pieces. And I wish I'd give anything to still have that. But anyway, because it's a wonderful memory in my mind. But this man, he wasn't a teacher. He wasn't a certified this or a licensed that. He only had 3 fingers on his right hand. And I don't know why, but I can still remember him throwing the chess pieces around with those 3 fingers. And that was a learning experience, something library.
Watching him throw chess pieces around was a learning experience?
It was.
Okay.
It developed a love for the game that never left me.
Was he a master or a grandmaster or anything like that?
He was probably a master.
Well, he was certified in a sense, credentialed in a sense.
Yes, but his certification wasn't artificial. I mean, half the problem with the school system are the people running the school system, and they just keep demanding more certified people. And it's just awful.
You see, I kind of see it going in a different direction. I see more and more people without certification, kids going in to teach for America or City Year or retirees going in
and
to teach.
And the reason they go in to teach for America is to become certified. And the fact remains that 45% of all teachers leave the profession before or in the fifth year.
And what do you think of colleges of education? Do you feel
I think colleges of education should be abolished.
Well, we agree on something.
What they try to do, I think has value. How to study, how people learn, to explore John Dewey, to explore Ivan Illich, to explore Horace Mann now.
Let's explore vouchers.
Vouchers. You know, another one of you Tea Party fanatics. Why don't we just abolish the Constitution and go back to the Articles of Confederation? Why don't we?
What does that have to do with education?
Oh, by the way, everybody, wait, everybody who's on the line, we're no longer live, but it's still going into the recording of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to know that this has been a really good experience, and so
let me just give you this little thing from the.
Eric Cantor? Did you hear Eric Cantor today?
No, I didn't watch much news today.
If we give aid to the state of Connecticut, that's where my favorite cousin is, or close by in New Hampshire. If we give aid to the state of Connecticut, we're going to have to cut something else.
Well, okay. Well, anyway, getting back on topic.
Sorry. I tend to do that,
okay.
But it's my show. I do whatever I want.
Yeah, Indiana expanded their voucher program. And, you know, actually they did it 2 years ago. But this year they've had something like 7,200 requests. And most of these kids are requesting, or the parents anyway, want to go to private schools, and the vast majority of them are Catholic schools.
Right. The Catholic paradigm is out. The issue is not where the money comes from. That's not the issue with schools. The problem with schools is, first of all, and I would think a Tea Partier like you would love this, it's mandatory. It has to be non-mandatory. That's the first thing should be repealed, is compulsory education.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that, I don't know where you want
to
go with that. I mean,
he's saying that the citizenry is the best thing.
Yeah, well, I think the parents and local school boards are where all the decisions should be made. I mean, I'm all for abolishing the Department of Education. Good God. That's a total waste.
Well,
that's a brain-dead factory.
You know, Ronald Reagan was going to eliminate the Department of Education, and in fact, under his 8 years, it doubled in size.
Yeah.
George Bush and all his buddies, we're going to make the government smaller. They created the monster called Homeland Security, which is probably a greater threat to American freedom than Al-Qaeda ever thought of being.
I completely agree about that.
Our next president, Rick Perry, is going to change all that.
Yeah,
let's talk about Mr. Perry. Oh, yes. The guy
I haven't decided between him and Bachman, but
The guy who wants to secede from the union. Well, you know what? Go ahead and take your state that has the slowest percentage of high school graduates in the nation.
Yeah.
But we don't need high school graduates. You just said that the K-12 paradigm is shot, and we should not worry about high school graduates.
Oh, I'm not worried about high school graduates.
you're just upset because they've got the third lowest number of high school graduates.
They have the lowest percentage of high school graduates to the population. That's just an example of something's wrong. Anyway, I'm just a crazy liberal who looks to the right and can't even see Barack anymore.
Wow.
Isn't Michelle Bachmann from your state?
No, Michelle Bachmann is from Iowa.
Well, Minnesota.
She's
born in Iowa, and she is a congressional representative from Minnesota.
Minnesota, that's right.
She's at least interesting. I will give her that. She's smarter than Sarah Palin. I will give her that.
So's my shoe, but come on.
So is my shoe.
Yeah, but you know, but I look at her and I look for, you know, let's say, you know, any type of libertarian philosophy, and it's very limited. But I think also that a lot of people misunderstand the Libertarian Party itself, okay? Because once you get on this side of the Mississippi, libertarians are not libertines. You know, they're all free markets and self-determination. But they're social conservatives. And you'll find the majority in states like Utah, Arizona, Idaho, with large Mormon populations. So there's a misconception that somehow libertarians are these free-flowing, you know, hippie-type people, and they just, you know, yeah, on the East Coast you're going to have that, you know, the ACLU.
You know, I know I'm going off on another topic here, but you know who was on the Dylan Radigan show today? I don't know if either Jason Lanier.
You're not
a gadget. Jaron Lanier. I always call him Jason.
Related to Bob Lanier?
I don't know. Remember when his sneakers broke at the finals of the NCAA?
Oh, yeah.
They had to tape them together because they didn't have another pair.
Well, they couldn't afford another pair there. That was
College wouldn't take Bob Lanier. They made him go to St. Bonaventure.
The Franciscans won on that one.
Mm-hmm.
well, maybe. Eventually, it started a tradition where the Bonaventure basketball coach eventually committed suicide. But anyway, but just to go back, there's a great video that I think the whole country should be paying attention to. It's called Scale Free School. And you can find it at vimeo.com/2032072. That's vimeo.com/2032072.
Post it on your Facebook.
I will. I will, but I'm just putting it out there in case anybody hears it. But the most, it just struck me. It was something I'd always had floating around in my mind, but from a different perspective. School buildings, essentially, are empty 85% of the year.
Hmm. Okay. Hmm. I mean, there are often empty rooms during the day, and they're empty all night.
School,
unless they have adult education.
In the present paradigm, school starts at 8:30. It goes till 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give them till 6:00 for the athletic teams. For the most part, the school is then empty until the next morning. The school is empty for the most part in the summer. 4 weeks of 1 month of the 10 months of the school year is vacation.
Mm.
Holidays. What we need to do, then you have other buildings like churches, libraries. Essentially, are filled in the evening, meeting halls, community centers. We have to become non-compulsory. We have to stop grouping people by age. We have to stop. Where everybody moves at the same pace, that you can't shoot ahead or lag behind.
Definitely agree there.
We have to relate. We have to do the things. Right now, the basic paradigm of school is tell and test. Tell everybody the information and see if they can remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And then go on, they forget all that and book up for the next one.
Yeah.
Well, that's nonsense. You want to, don't teach American history, do American history. Don't teach chemistry, do chemistry.
Well, they do that, I mean.
Oh, they do.
I mean, I remember in biology cutting up a whole lot of animals. And
that's right.
Once a
and
week.
And it stunk to high heaven. I hated
right,
that.
All the formaldehyde. But do you remember going out to Mike's Pond and gathering?
No. We didn't do any of that.
No, but you did it when you weren't in school. And now imagine if you had a mentor with you who could answer questions that you had.
Mm.
But, God forbid, no, can't go to Mike's Pond, catch polylogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put them in the backyard and watch them develop.
Yeah.
Somebody
well, we
fall in the pond and sue us.
Yeah. Well, we used to go to that big swamp off Eggert Road. It was on the back end of the cemetery. The big swamp there. Then eventually it drained and it became part of the cemetery. But we used to go up there, catch frogs, polywogs.
Right.
We found it, you know.
You know, or go out to Lake Erie after it froze, punch a hole in the ice.
Oh,
when
yeah.
The spouts were running, you didn't even have to put bait on the hooks. You just would drop them down into the and pull them out and throw them down on the ice and they would freeze.
Yeah.
And you bring them home, throw them in the wash tubs, they start swimming around.
Mm.
And, those were for catching turtles. And,
I can remember you saying
they don't
you, never, you were 15 years old, you've never seen a cow before.
Say that again?
I remember when you were 15 years old, you came out to the country and you said you were very proud of the fact you'd never seen a cow before.
I don't remember that.
I remember
God,
that
I used
vividly.
To have,
that's
I used
like
to
your
have
brother. Cow. Your brother thinks every black cow is a bull.
I'm not listening to that.
It's true. I drove with him this summer, and every time we saw a herd of black cattle, he said, "Look at all those bulls." And I said, "What do you?" He said, "Well, they're black. Look at all those bulls." And I'm not making that up.
I'm sure you're not. But we used to go, I used to have cow plop wars. Probably I never saw a cow. When I was 12, I used to go watch them milk cows on this big dairy farm where friends of my parents had this little cabin.
You told me when you were 15 years old you'd never seen a cow and you were very proud of it.
I don't think that's the... I might have told you that my favorite cousin used to lead me around with the little horses on a stick.
I thought she wouldn't let you play with those.
No, I always kid and stop. You're taking me in the ground. By the way, we got 1 second left, people.
Oh.
So we're going to have to go because it's not recording anymore.
All right, I'll let you go.
And it